We're going to look at the last part of Matthew 24. In this particular part, we close out the chapter in Matthew 24. And it has to do with being faithful to the Lord. So the Lord gave another parable that he said, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, once again, we look at how the Lord Jesus came up with a parable, this time the parable of two servants. Now, remember, whenever the Lord gives a parable, these parables are stories that come from pretty factual backgrounds. Were there households with servants? Yes. Were servants entrusted with such responsibilities? Yes. So all of these things that the Lord Jesus is speaking about, those who know of households or who have such households will understand what he's saying immediately. Well, let's look at the first a part of the parable, the faithful and wise servant. Now, we have to note that first and foremost, no matter what position he is or he has, he is still only a servant of the master. He is not a master. He's not a deputy master. He is basically a servant, even though he may be entrusted with great responsibilities. The two things about this servant to be noted is that, one, he is a faithful servant. Two, he is a wise servant. And both characteristics are essential for successful ministry in serving the Lord. That's important. So what was his responsibility? We read, he was made a ruler of his master's house. Second, he was tasked specifically to look after the household. So it's not just looking after the household, it is looking after all the things of the master's house. Remember, the master is not in a home. He's gone on a trip somewhere and he's away. And the person sole charge of the entire household, which will include servants, other servants, will include finances, will include everything else, and will be entrusted to this servant. Well, he understands his relationship with the master. He is a servant. And he knows that he is accountable to his master. Whether or not his master is physically present, he determined that he would be faithful and wise. So he would be serving. He doesn't need someone to look over his shoulder or shoulders. He doesn't need anybody to ask him to clock in and clock out. He was just going to be there all the way through, simply because he is a faithful person at heart. That is his characteristic. He is just a very faithful person. He's also a very wise person. In other words, he thinks through what he's doing, he reasons out what he's doing, and he does all his work faithfully without the presence of the master watching him at any time. Well, after a long while, the master returns and he receives the account from this particular steward, and the master is really pleased with his work and he is truly blessed. Right? And not only is the word blessed, meaning to say he's approved of, meaning to say that the master is happy with his work and pleased with all the effort that is put in, is glad that he has been faithful and wise in the discharge of all his duties. So what will he have when he is blessed? And the answer is, he will be made ruler of all his goods. So there, the master can have many, many holdings, and he could not just be in the household. Maybe he's got other companies, he's got other interests, he's got other areas of work over which he supervises, or he owns them, and he is there. And this person is going to be promoted to a higher level of ministry. And this is wonderful. So that is the description and the blessing of the successful servant. Why? Because he is faithful and he is wise. Now, there we have in the parable the second person mentioned in the parable. And this person is called the evil servant. Now, the word evil is used to contrast the faithful and wise. Very often, we think that the opposite of evil is good. But over here, the contrast is faithful and wise, not just good. Because good is just sometimes a very fuzzy word, is a very vague word. But when we look at a person who is faithful and wise, then we know this is a better description of the word good. Right? Well, now, let's look at the evil servant. Why was he called an evil servant in the first place? First, his thoughts. He reasons unfaithfully. He reasons unwisely. He reasons and he says, my master is delaying his coming. In other words, I don't know when he will return. Maybe he won't return in a month. Maybe he will return in a year. Maybe he will return in 10 years. Or 20 years, who knows? Well, obviously, the master is not returning soon. That is the whole point of his reasoning. But that is actually what we call wrong reasoning or evil reasoning. When you are a servant, it's not for you to reason when the master comes back. That is not your focus. That is not your concern. So those thoughts were wrong in the first place. The second thing we want to take a look at his deeds. Now, since he was appointed the chief steward, and all the other servants are now under his supervision, so he decides to exert his authority as a chief steward, and he beats his fellow servants. Now, remember, they are servants too. They are fellow servants. He is not a master. He is not deputized as a master. He is simply a head servant or a chief steward, and he has no business beating his fellow servants. The only person who has a right to do that would be the master himself, nobody else. But he takes upon himself this responsibility, and he discharges it, and he beats his fellow servants. Well, and the second deed is this. He can't be bothered with looking after the affairs of his master. So now does he spend his time? He uses the master's finances. He plans his timetable in such a way that he has got time to eat and drink with the drunkards. So when we talk about eating and drinking with the drunkards, for every function, it is certainly not 10 minutes or 15 minutes. When drunkards drink, you can be sure that they will be at the tavern for the next several hours. In fact, if they can go there in the evening, they will be there until the bar closes at night, late at night. And he's with the drunkards. What is he doing there? He's not the master. He's not a deputy master. He is not anyone related to the family. He is simply a servant. But because of what he thinks, because of what he does, he is called an evil servant. He has failed to do all that he was entrusted to do. Now the story goes on to the return of the master. Right? It is reasoning. My master is delaying his coming. So he thinks his master won't be back after the first year. Well, maybe not a second year. And he just, after a while, forgets about his master returning. So what does that mean? What happens now? Well, the master is going to come unexpectedly. He is going to come when the servant is not looking for him. He's going to come when at an hour that he is not aware of. Meaning to say, he could be eating and drinking out there with his drunken friends, and the master has come home, and the whole household is in disarray. The other servants are nursing their injury. They are unhappy. They are disgruntled. They're not given proper food, and they're not looked after, and they were just being bullied left, right, center. What would the master do? And we read, he will cut him in two. Literally meaning to say, he will cut him down to size. Meaning to say, again, that he is no longer to be seen as a chief steward. He will cut him down. He will no longer be in his employ. He will no longer be able to enjoy his position. He is going to be cut in two. That's the expression. Worse, he will be placed among the hypocrites. So there are people who think that they are servants. They like to portray themselves as servants, but they are not. They are thinking all kinds of thoughts. They say one thing and they do another. They are just simply hypocrites. Well, the evil servant now has received his sentence, his judgment from his master. In those days, masters own their slaves or their servants, and they can do with them whatever they wish. They can terminate employment. They can send them to jail. They can beat them up, whatever, because he is the property of the master. Well, he was just simply cut off. No longer is he under the master's aegis, no longer under his master's employ. He is just cut off. Well, what happens now? Then the evil servant regrets. He expresses his regret, his frustration with weeping, gnashing of teeth. But all of these things, he may say he's sorry. He may say that he shouldn't have done what he did. He may ask for forgiveness. He may say whatever he wants to, movingly. But all his words would be in vain. All the years wasted, the beating of his servants uncalled for, the wasting of the master's money, the neglect of his duties, and so on and so forth. All of these things must be taken into consideration. And so the parable is very clearly presented. So what does it mean for us? Well, our challenge is to remember that we are called to be servants of God. So the question is, what kind of servants we will be? Will we be wise and faithful, or will we end up being evil? Much depends upon what we choose, and we must choose to understand what God has entrusted us to do. We are his servants, and we should determine to practice two vital principles about good servanthood: to be faithful and to be wise. Well, we can also then look forward to the blessing from the Lord, and not to fear the punishment that will be obviously given to those who neglect their duties. Worse, they abuse their rights and responsibilities for their own personal gains. Well, when we talk about being servants of God, we have to ask ourselves seriously, candidly, honestly, how do we see ourselves in serving the Lord? And a lot of people don't. A lot of people call themselves believers, but they are not serving the Lord in any particular way. They are not interested. They are not concerned. They are just not going to do their part. To them, it's nothing. It's somebody else's area of work, not his. Well, this would be very unfortunate. But let's remember what a privilege it really is to be called a servant of God, to be appointed a servant of God, to be entrusted with responsibilities to perform, to be entrusted, and all these things must speak to our hearts and generate within us, cause within us a great desire. And what is that desire? To be faithful and to be wise. And only when we are faithful and wise will we be at the end of it all, commended by the Master, blessed by the Master with even greater responsibilities. Well, let's ponder these thoughts here very carefully. But let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of being called your servants. We pray that you will teach us how we can really appreciate this. Help us to choose to be faithful and to be wise. Teach us how we can do this, we pray, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.